Take your Bibles with us, would you please? And turn with us to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians. And I want to speak a message this morning entitled, Lowering the Boom on High Anxiety. I must tell you, I thank the Lord when he opens up a door that we have an opportunity to preach and to represent Convoy of Hope a couple of times a year or the district office, the responsibilities there. But I must tell you, when I'm away from Brighton, I miss it because this is my family. This is where God's called me and my primary calling of life. I want to thank Rhonda and the team for rallying around her. It was an amazing service. We heard that from different people this past week. So thanks for just being a part of the family of God. And we just say it again, thank you for receiving our ministry. And we're in this series on Sunday mornings at the start of the year. Just like somebody tries to get rid of a few pounds or tone up on the physical level, we've taken the first few weeks and couple of months into the 2024 calendar year, and we're saying, Lord, what do you want to do in us regarding spiritual fitness? Paul said, he wrote it, and he said, you know what? Bodily exercise profiteth some. It does profit a little. You've only been given one body, so we want to take care of what God's given to us. But he said it profits little, but spiritual godliness, spirituality profits for eternal life, this life and in the life to come. And so what we've done is, if you remember, we started out the series talking about stress. We talked about depression. We looked at this idea that you need to be good and angry. It's not sinful to be angry, but it's got to be channeled the right way, the way God wants us to. We looked at this idea 2 weeks ago. I'd never preached a message regarding it in my history, 31 years at the church, just an entire message on bitterness. But many of you testified how God touched you in that. And we've been looking at this idea that if we hold on to these negative emotions, negative feelings, stress, anger, worry, bitterness. The idea is what? That it can ruin our lives. It can steal from us what God has intended. And the fact is, it can remove all the joy and happiness from our lives. How many of you know that? So today I want to speak to you about another emotion that is not God's will for our lives. Lowering the boom on high anxiety. People that are in the know, somebody like a John Hager or a Duran Gutierrez, they can tell you the acronym GAD stands for Generalized Anxiety Disorder. It's an acronym or a disorder that's given by the National Institute of Mental Health. They would typify it. They would define it or its characteristics as restlessness, fatigue, irritability, difficulty with sleeping, overwhelming and uncontrollable feelings of worry is how they would term or they would signify anxiety. The National Mental Health Association says 40 million American adults, 18 or older, so that's more than 18% of the population that are involved in this, 40 million, 18 or over, the population every single year feel the effects of panic attacks, phobias, and other anxiety disorders. Anxiety disorders, Brighton AG, in the United States is the number one mental health problem amongst women. And amongst men, it's second only to alcoholism and drug addiction is anxiety. According to an October 2020 public opinion released by the American Psychiatric Association, 62% of Americans felt anxious more than the year before. Right in the middle of the pandemic, it rose more than 80%. The top causes of anxiety in that study were keeping themselves, people and themselves and their families safe. COVID-19 was at 75%. Keeping people safe was 80%. Their health overall, 73%. Gun violence was 73%. And the upcoming election in 2020 was 72%. People in our culture are anxious. Say anxious. Anxiety is the most common mental disorder in the U.S. World Health Organization said that 1 in 13 people suffer on a regular basis from anxiety. You see an author on screen. His name is Edmund Bourne. He wrote a classic book, The Anxiety and Phobia Workbook. And he stated these words, "The Western world's environment and social order have changed more in the last 30 years than they have in the previous 300. In my opinion, I would say the culture within our country has changed more in the last 20 years than it did in the previous 40. I've never seen such a radical change in our culture than we have just over the last couple of decades. No wonder we're anxious, however, because of what's going on in our world. Think about it. You've got the internet. You've got smartphones constantly around you. Just this past week, for about a day, the better part of a day, I lost my phone, and man, I was upset. Anybody know that, what I'm talking about? I mean, I was stressed. I had the staff looking for it. I was calling the police station in town. I was doubling back over to stores that I've been in, gas stations. I'm not going to tell you where we found it. I know you were wanting to know that. But we've got constant computer use and screens, televisions, and now AI, artificial intelligence, just over the last year or two, if you will. We hear about global warming, threat of nuclear wars, terrorist attacks, racial tensions and strife, the emergence of new deadly diseases. So maybe you'll understand why we're in this series on spiritual fitness. Because what we now know about each other is that feelings in great part drive us. What we do, our emotions will drive us many times. Where we go, it'll drive us. So much of who we are is because of our emotional being, if you will. The intensity of our feelings have never been more strong within our being, if you will, and our emotions have never been higher as a culture. So today we're studying this idea of anxiety. This is how I would define it. You see it on the screen today. I would define anxiety like this, with a spiritual element. Anxiety is a lethal combination of worry, say worry, and fear that dominates your mind, saturates your heart, and devastates your soul. As a matter of fact, it's that feeling that continues to linger long after the threat of fear has dissipated, is anxiety. You might say, well, Pastor, aren't you just describing worry? No, I would say worry or anxiety is worry on steroids. It's a whole nother level. It's a greater intensity than just being worried. See, people tend to use worry and anxiety kind of on an interchangeable basis, but they're very different psychotic or psychosis experiences. Psychology Today said worry tends to be more focused on thoughts in our heads. Anxiety is more visceral. We feel it throughout our entire body. So maybe you think that you have a problem with worry, and it may actually be a problem with anxiety. Here's a few differences between worry and anxiety. Jot them in your blanks on your sheet, would you? Worry tends to reside in our mind. We said that. Anxiety affects both body and mind. Worry is specific. You know what you're worried about. You're worried about your health, worried about your finances, worried about vocation. Anxiety is more generalized, if you will. Sometimes it's hard to even put a finger on what you're anxious about. Worry is grounded in reality. There's something really you're worried about. Finances, health, relationships, or whatever it might be. Anxiety is marked by catastrophic thinking, if you will. You get anxious about something that probably may never even happen. Worry is temporary. Eventually it goes away. Anxiety tends to be chronic. It sticks with you. Worry does not so much impair function. You know what? If I'm worried about my finances, I can still go and I can preach. I can still drive. I can go about business, if you will. But you know what? the idea is anxiety does affect our function. It can almost paralyze us at different times. So here's the good news. You ready? There was a man. He was flesh and blood, just like you and I. And Jerry and Marianne Cox, is so good to see you today. I got to tell you, you're back with us. And Julia, I want to congratulate you. I was gone last week, and I know that you got engaged. He's blessed. And so are you. I rejoice with you. But the fact of the matter is, Paul's a run-of-the-mill guy, and he talks to you and I about being anxious. He wrote a book that we still turn to today, and you've turned there, Philippians, this morning. Do you know what Philippians was? Say it with me. Prison. Say nice love. Prison. Epistle. It was a prison letter because he wrote this letter from a Roman prison. He was probably, in his mind, 100% certain that he was not going to get out of that prison alive. He did for a time, however. But the fact is, he didn't know what day he was going to die. You could understand why he might struggle with anxiety. But in this book that he gave to us, in this short passage we're going to study today, I believe it's amazing. Because he gives you and I a four-step process how to calm, say calm. I want you to get that in your spirit. You got to say calm. Calm your nerves. It's wonderful psychological advice. But can I say, it's fantastic spiritual advice. It's good. It's sound psychological advice. But it's phenomenal spiritual advice. And I'm concerned more about the spiritual than I am the psychological. Stand with me for the reading of the word. I planned on reading just four verses, but let me pick up two extras if I can at the tail end of this passage. We're reading, starting at verse number 4 in Philippians 4. If you're there, say amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Say nice loud, rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Say the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Say hearts. Hearts. Say minds. Minds. In Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. What a passage of scripture. Today, for a few moments, we're going to look at how do you and I lower the boom on anxiety? And it's all right there. Four steps. And if you struggle with worry on steroids, if you've had panic attacks, if you've struggled with just being able to be dilapidated by worry or anxiety in your life, if you've been disabled by it in days gone by, I want you to know you can leave here today. Those of you watching online, you can stop listening at the end of this message and call out to God, and he'll meet you where you're at. You can leave here free from anxious disorders. You can leave here free from panic attacks, that the Lord wants to set you free just by following his word today. Would you pray with me? Just lift your hands unto him, would you? Lord, I call on you today. And we live in a stressful world. Lord, we're overcome by the attacks of the enemy if we were left to ourselves. But Lord, I pray your anointing and your favor in this word that you've given to us today. Lord, I pray that people would leave changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that they would receive your word gladly. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you, it changes us. Lord, I thank you that it sets us free. And Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. And all God's people would say amen. 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 You may be seated. If you're anxious about anything right now, I want you to follow this four-step process of how to calm your nerves. First off, the first step is right there. It's given to us. It's celebrate. Say celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate the person of the Lord. The heart of what Paul says about anxiety is simple. And it's very simple so that you and I can understand it, and namely me. He literally is looking at us and he says, Brad Trask, people of Brighton Assembly, are you anxious? Are you anxious? You don't have to raise your hand. But the fact of the matter is, based upon what we've going on around our world, you can struggle or you can wrestle with anxiety. Some of you had a trouble even sleeping last night. Some of you over this past week, because of what's going on in your family, you've lost your appetite. Some of you are irritable about what's transpiring. You don't know what's going on, but there's just an anxiety about your life. The fact is, you've got an anxiety problem. Paul says, don't get mad. He doesn't want you to get upset about it. He says simply, look at this. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And you might respond, well, that's easy to say, Brad, but man, it's awful hard to do. It is, because anyone that's dealing with anxiety knows that you can't just turn it on and off like you do a spigot on your faucet. The fact is, it can't be turned off just that easily. But Paul gives you the directives here. He confidently asserts when anxiety attacks you, you attack anxiety. He says right here, this first step is to celebrate the person of the Lord. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. I want you to circle if you've got your own Bible today. Circle two words. If it's in the handout, circle it there. Would you? Circle always. Say always. Say, circle the word again. Say again. Paul repeats himself because he's emphasizing a point. Look, this is not something you do occasionally. This is not something you do if you feel like it. This is not something you do if things are going well or if you're just in a good mood. You've got to make this a habit of your life. You've heard me, if you've been a part of the church for any length of time. To rejoice is a choice. I make the choice to rejoice each and every day, or I make the choice not to rejoice, but I make that choice. And you see, you've got to do this as a habit in your life, Brighton. You've got to literally build joy like you do muscle memory into your mind and your heart and your soul. But you know what happens? If you wait until just a flood of anxiety comes into your life and then you try to give thanks or you try to be joyful, you know what? You'll be overwhelmed. But the fact is, you and I, if we make the choice, when the thundering clouds come against us and the lightning is flashing to try and stir us towards anxiety and the rain is pouring against us, if you and I are still rejoicing in the Lord, we're going to overcome. See, Paul, he gives us this great advice. And he says, rejoice not in your circumstances, rejoice in the Lord. I want you to hear me, Bright. If you just rejoice in the stock market, if your joy is in the stock market or the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, I want you to know when the stock market crashes, your joy will crash. If it's just about your business, if your joy is in your business or your kids' sports or their accomplishments, the fact is, if your business goes bust, you're going to lose your joy. If it's about having a nice home or the dream house that you've always wanted, you know what? If it burns down or it's foreclosed upon, you're going to lose your joy. But if your joy is in Jesus, you're never going to lose. Listen, when you and I derive our joy from the Lord, the joy of Christ, there was a great man of God, African-American brother that helped us with the Convoys of Hope the first several years we had him, since gone to be with the Lord. Ron and I loved Eddie Edwards. He had a ministry called The Joy of Jesus in the inner city of Detroit. The fact is, the joy of Jesus will never forsake you. It'll never fail you. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm under pressure. The Lord's greater than your pressure. I want you to know, you got problems, the Lord's greater than your problems. You got people issues, the Lord's greater than the people issues you've got. What you and I have to learn to do is not based upon possessions or property or popularity or position. We choose to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. There's got to be a spirit of celebration about your life. You can always, always rejoice in the greatness of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. There's a great Christian doctor that he wrote a book entitled, This Is Your Brain. This Is Your Brain on Joy, Dr. Earl Henslin. And he wrote this book, and he said something I found fascinating this past week as I studied that, about joy and anxiety. He said, The elements or the emotions of joy and anxiety travel the same neural pathways in your brain. And he said it's normal for both of them to occupy the same path at the same time. So what you and I have to do, we literally have to choose which one gets the right away. Some of you are making a choice even today. You know what? You can make the choice. Hey, anxiety, there's no room for you amidst joy. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to give in the praise, because anxiety, you can't reside where joy is going to be resident. Say it with me. Celebrate the person of the Lord. Second step is this. Appreciate the presence of the Lord. Appreciate. Celebrate. Appreciate. Verse 5, look at it, says there, your gentleness will be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I want you to break that down with me. Look at that. I'm going to teach you that the fact is, the problems, the pressures, and the people that you've got today, the Lord knows about them. Because sometimes we wonder, you know what, God? These problems, these people issues, these pressures have come into my life. Why can't it just always be smooth all the time? God knows, can I tell you, what he's doing. And God has a purpose even in the problems. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, what is the word gentleness? What does it mean? Gentleness is a synonym in the Bible would be meekness. Gentleness is strength under control. It's level-headedness and the ability not to overreact. And when you're the gentle person that you and I ought to be, we choose faith over fear. We're always going to choose trusting God versus trembling. We're going to choose worship over worry. Amen? And here's what he says. Let it be evident to everybody. Let it be evident to all. Well, what does he mean by that? What's Paul trying to communicate? Gentleness is the ability, we said, keep your head about you when everybody else is losing theirs. You're gentle. And when things come into your life, you know what God's doing? Many times God is giving you and God is giving me the golden opportunity to show forth to people that these pressures and these problems and these people that are caving in on us, they will not overcome because we're children of Almighty God. Visited a couple, it's a part of our church, this past Friday at U of M. Pray for the Calkins, Nick and Carrie, and their little boy, Isaac John. Isaac John needs a miracle in his body. But this family, amidst their son's life has gone through trauma, just even at birth over this past week. The fact is, here's this couple that they're trusting in Almighty God. They testified how loving the church is when they said they've looked around at a bunch of other churches, but they've come into Brighton Assembly and people genuinely care. My boast is in the Lord about you. Thank you for being like that. But here's this couple when other people in that unit, in that NIC unit in U of M, they're going through trauma. There was a peace that surpasses all understanding about their lives. We prayed together. And they said, you know what, Lord, Pastor, we believe. We're joining with you. Thank the people for praying. But look what it says. That you and I, as God's people, we can be gentle even amidst the difficult places. Why? Because those four words that follow, the Lord is near. Say it with me. The Lord is near. Say it one more time. The Lord is near. That ought to be something we repeat often through the day. Now, some scholars, and it's not bad. Some scholars believe, you know what? Okay, the Lord's talking about the second coming. And that certainly could be what it refers to in part. But I would also say there's an additional meaning. And that's what you and I are to practice when we go through these different situations of pressure and overwhelming problems. We understand, you know what, that we don't need to pace the floor. We don't need to be driven towards, you know what, fear and anxiety, because the Lord is near. He's with you. He's the ever-present help. Those four words we ought to learn, because the fact is, he's saying, you know what? I'm allowing these problems so it drives you to my person. It drives you to my heart so that then I can be glorified and you can be a testimony to others. But the fact of the matter is, God will never let you get away, friend. He's going to overcome the foe so that you can face and be able to celebrate his goodness. And you can dedicate yourself and appreciate yourself, appreciate the fact that the Lord is near. Say celebrate. Celebrate. Say appreciate. Appreciate. I would submit to you, those were all the pre-op, if you will. Here's where you and I drill down. We liberate the power of God, or the power of the Lord. Those were the pre-steps. But look at this word, what it says. Do not be anxious about anything. That word anxious literally means to be torn apart. The same idea with the Anglo-Saxon word worry. It divides, it conquers. If you think about it, that's exactly what happens psychologically or emotionally when we're anxious. It's what happens to us spiritually. You feel like life is falling apart. It's being torn apart. Instead of being hopeful, we're fearful. Instead of being dynamic believers, we're depressed. But anxiety is the monster that worry creates, if you will. But there's a prescription that emits that seed of worry. And it's the best description I've found. Look at it, what it says there, verse 6. But in everything, say everything. Everything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I found a pretty good prescription through David Jeremiah's book, and another minister that I love his teaching on this passage by the name of James Merritt. And they told this story, both men did, about a French soldier that he wrote it down just before a battle in World War I. This is what he said. Of two things, one is certain. Either you are at the front or you are behind the lines. If you are at the front, of two things, one is certain. Either you are exposed to danger or you are in a safe place. If you are exposed to danger, of two things, one is certain. Either you are wounded or you are not wounded. If you are wounded, of two things, one is certain. Either you are going to recover or you're going to die. If you recover, there is no need to worry. If you die, you can't worry. That says it all right there. See, look at the word says. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The key to anxiety, right, is you've got to proactively deal with it. What do you do with it? You pray with petitions and thanksgiving, and you present your request to God. And I believe that's, it's a 24 karat piece of advice that's been given to us. Be anxious about nothing, but pray about everything. You know what I tend to do? I tend to get anxious about everything and pray about nothing, or that's what I'm tempted to do. When that happens to me, you know what? Then I start pacing the floor. Then I start stressing. But the fact is, you've got two alternatives. You can be anxious, say anxious, or you can pray. There's not a third option. You're either going to pray or you're going to be anxious. But let me tell you what happens when you pray. When you and I pray, are you ready? Say amen. Amen. When you pray, you liberate the power of God in your life. Because here's what God does. He's up there and he's watching you. The word says his eyes roam throughout all the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are set towards him. And so he's looking from a 30,000 foot view, and he sees more than you see, certainly. He knows more than you know. He's watching you walk the floor. He's watching you lose your appetite. He looks at you having panic attacks. He sees that you're trying to make it happen or push your way through. But the moment that you look up to him and say, oh God, I can't handle this. You can't. That's when he shows up. See, friends, it ignites the engine that allows the rocket of God's power to come to your life. I'm a big sports guy. You know that. And I think it's for one of the banks. There's a series of commercials that is out there. One of them's got Charles Barkley in, and these kids are having a pickup basketball game, and Charles Barkley's one of the people that the little kid picks on his team, and Charles Barkley comes over, and none of the other kids even come up to his waist, but Charles Barkley is going to help this kid win. And another one's a softball, looks like a church league softball team or a city league softball team, and they need a pinch hitter, and the manager calls for Derek, and this one guy with a beard named Derek stands up, and the manager says, no, not you. I want Derek Jeter in the background there. And Derek Jeter stands up and hits a ball right through the scoreboard. And I think about that as a basketball guy. If I'm designing a play as a coach, you know what, and I don't have Michael Jordan in the game, how many of you know it's smart for me to get Michael Jordan off the bench and into the game? You know what? I'm not going to leave him on the bench. I'm going to say MJ. And I was a Pistons fan. Michael Jordan drove me crazy, but I'm smart enough to realize he was the best player that ever played. All this stuff about LeBron James, can I tell you? Nah. Not even close. Kobe, great player, not even close. But can I tell you? I'd be smart to put Michael Jordan into the game at the end to be able to try to win. But even Michael Jordan missed those game-winning shots 50% of the time. I want you to know, when you call on the living God, when you cry out to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't make it. I want you to know 100% of the time he makes the shot. He comes through for God's people. He'll come through for you when you liberate the power of God through prayer. I don't know what happened to you over the last week. I know it wasn't my wife's preaching. She rocked it. But friends, wake up and smell the coffee. God wants to work on your behalf. I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine today, right here. You've got three boxes before you. And right before you, there's the box that, you know what, is anxiety. You've got another box that you've got prayer. You've got another box that is rejoicing in God. And you say, you know what? What's going on about me? I want you to know, what do you put in the anxiety box? Box one, nothing. What do you put in the prayer box? Everything. What do you put in the thanksgiving box? Anything that you can give thanks unto God for. My friends, I want you, when you do it God's way, God will show up on your behalf. Liberate the power of Almighty God on your behalf. And one last idea as the worship team comes back. Celebrate, say celebrate.
Celebrate.
Say appreciate.
Appreciate.
Say liberate.
Liberate.
Say meditate.
Meditate.
Meditate on the peace of the Lord. What'll happen when you do that? Look what it says there. Here's what happens. When you celebrate, rejoice in the Lord always. When you appreciate the Lord's presence, Lord, you're near. I call on your name. You liberate the power of God. Look what it says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you? They're trying to figure it out over in Israel and Gaza. Trying to come to a peace agreement. There's been a lot of peace treaties, a lot of documents that have been signed regarding peace that have been broken over history, peace that didn't last. But God says here, my peace will last. My peace will be resident. It's not transient. It'll be resident in your life. And remember, the peace of God is the peace that can only come from God. You can't drug it up. You can't soak it with booze and it'll happen. Friends, the peace of God will only come from the presence of Almighty God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The kind of peace that you can't find in money or drugs or pills, sex or fame or fortune. Because that peace never lasts. Paul says this is the peace that can't be bought. It can't be borrowed. It can't be stolen. It's not found in a pill. It's found in the person of the living God. Not too long ago, I did a study. I think I shared it one time with you about this word peace. Think about this. Peace in the Bible is an amazing study. There's 27 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. 18 of those books begin with a greeting of peace. Peace unto you, brothers. Peace unto you, church. The 18 out of the 27 begin with a salutation, if you will, a greeting and a salutation of peace. And it's not the peace that is from the authors. It was the peace from God that inspired those authors to write the books. So they're greeting in the peace of God. If you're with me, say amen. And here's something that you'll notice. Whenever you see that peace in the Word of God, the greeting, 18 times in the New Testament, it always says this, hear me, grace and peace to you. It's never peace by itself. It's never peace at first, peace and grace. It's always grace and peace to you. And you may say, well, why is that, Brad? Because you'll never know the peace of God until you experience the grace of God. How many of you have experienced the grace of God in your life? Pray every hand goes up. Or if your hand doesn't go up now, it ought to go up later. To experience the grace of God. To be in right standing. To receive God's riches at Christ's expense. To experience the grace that only God can give. But when you experience the grace of God, you'll know the peace of God. The word peace occurs no less than 400 times in the Bible. And it'll stay on guard in your life. It stays on 24/7. As long as you live, it'll guard your body, mind, soul, and spirit. So the steps are so simple. Nothing in the anxiety box, everything in the prayer box, anything in the thanksgiving box, just to give thanks unto God. Paul says when you do this, anxiety goes out the door. Anxiety flees when you give thanks unto God. I was reading this chapter this past week. And I just want to read a section, if I can. And it's a testimony of the man, James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny, that obviously started the Penny stores in the chain. But listen to what happened in 1929 to this business tycoon in the midst of the Depression. What took place as he was hospitalized with anxiety. In 1929, business tycoon J.C. Penny was hospitalized because of his severe anxiety. One night, he was sure he was going to die, so he wrote farewell letters to his wife and son. He survived the night and, hearing singing the next morning in the chapel, felt drawn to go in. A group was singing, "God will take care of you," after which followed a Bible reading and prayer. Penny said, and I quote, "Suddenly something happened. I can't explain it. It was a miracle. I felt as if I had been instantly lifted out of the darkness of a dungeon into warm, brilliant sunlight. I felt as if I had been transported from hell to paradise. I felt the power of God as I had never felt it before." He goes on to state, "I realized that I alone was responsible for all my troubles. I knew that God with his love was there to help me. From that day to this, my life has been free from worry. The most dramatic and glorious minutes of my life were those I spent in that chapel that morning." I love the word of God, don't you? In my 31 years of ministry, I pray with Rhonda that you and I realize she and I love God's word. And I love this outline that somebody gave me. And I want you to see it again one more time. Did you see it? It says, if you celebrate the person of the Lord, appreciate the presence of the Lord, liberate the power of the Lord, meditate on the peace of the Lord. Look what that acronym spells for your life and mine. There will be a calm that comes over your life. God didn't put you on this earth to walk the floors in fear and anxiousness. God didn't want your stomach to be tied up in a knot on a regular basis. God put you here so that he could send his son to take care of your sin problem. And that same God that can take care of your sin and soul problem can take care of every disorder that would try and attack your life even today, February 25, 2024. Today, you have an issue? Would you just rejoice in the Lord? Would you just appreciate the presence of God today and just say, "Lord, I thank you, you're near." Would you take that step of activity and liberate the power of God for your life and just say, "Lord, I believe you answer prayer. I need your help. I can't do this." It's like calling Jordan in, but Jordan never misses a shot. And then meditate and rejoice in the peace of God. Would you stand with us today? Lord, I pray in these next few moments as we close this service, I pray, Lord, that you would give a grace. People have heard your word. They could have heard it more eloquently. They could have heard it, Lord, more profound verbiage. But, Lord, we tried to share your word today. And your word, Lord, is life. It'll set people free. Lord, would you just deal with people even this hour, Lord, that they might come to you and not put anything in that anxiety box, but put everything in that prayer box and say, "Lord, with prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving, I'm going to submit my requests unto God." And then, Lord, would you allow us to have an ebullient spirit where we give thanks unto you, Lord, because this is what you desire from our lives, to always be rejoicing, thankful for who you are. Lord, would you do an eternal work as we close this service today? With every head bowed and every eye closed. And people watching online, can I just talk to you and the people that are present today? And I want to say just one more word about anxiety. And you might think it's going to contradict everything I said, but I think you'll get it. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be anxious because you're not ready for eternity. But you can be before you even walk out the doors. You can be in right standing with God because you invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to follow some preacher or be a part of some cult. This is about relationship with Jesus, plain and simple. If you're watching online, would you take that step and just go to brightonag.org/next and we'll lead you in the path.